Listen to this.
Zakamani, the flying winger.
Here's Brad Evans.
It's Steve.
Who is it? It's Brad Evans.
Is that again?
Happy days are here again. Turning with a drive, it's Steve Zakamani. Evans with the left foot. He's an attacking threat, Brad Evans.
This is so weird.
The party has started.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Side by Side, and at least results-wise, not the greatest week for the Sounders, but has to be said, at least on Saturday, other results went the Sounders' way. So it didn't really affect much in the table. The Sounders still hold a six-point cushion over Sporting Kansas City, who they face this weekend. Sporting have played a game less. The Sounders well beaten in Houston and then got a good point in Colorado, but all eyes now turn to this game against Sporting KC, which I think is Sporting's last chance to really catch the Sounders. They have to win this if they want to get the number one seed. So we'll look into that, recap a few things, do our over and unders, and then we'll be out of here. So, I mean, probably won't want to spend too much time on the Houston game. I think we had spoke before in the last podcast, and I think I said, at some point in the season, every team is due just an off day. And normally you get, you know, like a 4-0 defeat and 5-0. This wasn't that, I didn't think, but definitely ended up being an off day for the Sounders. I thought the first 15 minutes, I thought, okay, they came to play. The ball was moving well. And after the Max Urruti goal, which was, you know, world-class goal, the Sounders never responded. And I mean, Houston hit the post four times in the space of 15, 20 minutes in the second half. Could have been worse. And until, was it João Paulo's free kick at the very end, 93rd minute, hit the crossbar. That was really the only time the Sounders threatened the Houston goal second half. So it was a defeat that, you know, they were well beaten, is a nice way to put it. But I thought the character last night in Colorado was really good. To go a goal down with about 20, 25 minutes to goal and find a way to come back, not lose, make two defeats in a row, Kansas coming to town, wouldn't have been nice. So I thought that was really good. And the other positive was obviously Leo Chu. First time I've really seen him, what he has in extended, he looks good. He looked good. And Schmidt said, you know, that was his more natural position. And not just the assist. He came on. He was sharp. He was going at guys. Something different the team doesn't have or maybe has lost without Jordan Morris. So, yes, results-wise, not a great week. But looking at the other results that went the Sounders' way, nothing really changed except maybe, okay, the Sounders won't win the Supporters' Shield. I think deep down, we kind of knew that a few weeks back. New England showed no signs of really slowing down in any big way. So, not too bad for me. If I'm in that locker room after that game, look, let's get on a plane, let's fly home, take our day off, come back in on Friday and then really get after it in the early kickoff against Sporting KC. I'd be feeling good. I don't think it was too much of a bad week, but I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think, circumstances we've had now, this is the fourth week of three games in 7-8 days. And to come out of it with, 9 wins, a draw, and 1 loss so far. We'll see how, you know, we fare on Saturday. But if you'd have told us that before the season, we'd be ecstatic, right?
Yeah.
Disappointing to go to Houston, and you talked about it, right? Is this the game where, you know, they get crushed? Could have been without the post, yes. But I think we also talked about the front three, those fast front three of Houston causing them a problem, and they did on the day. Things change if Yamar's in there, I think, a bit more calmness. And a bit more obviously speed and recovery. And, you know, you find yourself in a position as a player where it's like, shit, I got to come back home. Usually in years past, you just stay in Houston and fly straight to Colorado. But now you have to fly back home from Houston, long flight. You go basically fly over Colorado to come home for one training session and then fly down to Colorado. It is not ideal. It's a tough, tough road trip. In saying that, I thought that the guys came out and performed well. If I'm the captain of that locker room, I can't really ask for anything more than, you know, coming back and tying 1-1. If you give up the points or the goal, I guess, if it was a little bit reversed, you'd probably come in a little bit upset. But the guys salvaged the point, and sometimes it's about, you know, ultimately grinding out a result away from home, and then you kind of hit reset and get back to work on Saturday. So overall, I don't think we can be too disappointed. Houston not the result you wanted, but showed character in coming back Wednesday night.
Yeah. Keely?
Totally. I agree. Especially, I mean, the beginning of that Colorado game was an onslaught. I mean, they were at us in front of goal. I mean, the only reason we got bailed out was a goal kick that eventually finally cleared it. I mean, that first 15 minutes, we were under it. And Freddie really wanted to score that game, by the way, yesterday. He really wanted to score. I was disappointed. Obviously, the offside goal that got disallowed correctly, but he wants to score. That was one of my big takeaways, for sure.
Yeah, he needs one. I think he needs one just to get his confidence going. It'd be nice to see him get one before the regular season's over so he can roll into the playoffs. I don't think Freddie scored in the playoffs for the Sounders in his first stint. So it'd be nice to get him on a roll that leads into the playoffs and he can break that duck. I think you're going to need him. So overall, I think we all agree, not the worst week. As we look ahead to Sporting KC, now this has been interesting because Sporting KC came to Seattle early in the season and won well. And then Seattle went to Sporting and I feel Seattle won well. Sporting woke up last 20 minutes or so. They really started to come after the Sounders, but for the most part, it was a comfortable-ish win. Since that game, Sporting, I've gone to Dallas and won 3-1, beaten Houston 4-2, but they did lose in Vancouver 2-1. Two very good teams. The gap in the table at this point is, let's call it what it is, it's 6 points. It's Sporting win a game in hand. It's 3 points. They're very close. I'm a little bit worried about this game. I respect them a lot. I think they're a very, very good team. I don't think the Sounders are in the best form, best moment. It hasn't mattered for the most part. It hasn't mattered. But you're starting to feel the pitch of not having Raul, not having Nico Tekoran. I think we missed Yamar and the Houston game. This is where your best players just have to be on the pitch. And then you figure it out. You can ride the Josh Atencios, you can ride these guys to an extent. And no knock against them. When you're facing a team like Sporting KC, I want Raul on the pitch. I want Nico on the pitch. We don't have that yet. Definitely a winnable game. A little bit worried just with what that team can do, especially on the counter. Johnny Russell, which is, again, I've been a big fan for a few years at this point. Shallowy's been scoring goals. I mean, they're a good, good team. And I don't think they'll make, you're not seeing Graham Zusi make the same mistakes he made in that game. They're not doing that. They're not repeating those mistakes they made when the Sounders won there. So it's going to be a great one, but a little bit concerned, I think.
Yeah. I mean, this is one to mark on your calendars, right? You got number one and number two battling it out with four games left in the season. Like, this is a massive game. And from here on out, they're all massive. They're all playoff games. And you're going to really see what, you know, maybe a little bit of rotation, but probably not. You can't afford to come home and have too much rotation, right? I think we talked about it on the broadcast. You would have loved to have gotten a result in Houston, a little bit of a cushion, maybe rest some guys for 45, 50 minutes in Colorado, and then field your full strength lineup as you have it right now with injuries back at home against Kansas City. But, you know, things don't turn out the way that we always plan them, and the guys are going to have to be up for it. I'd like to see the Sounders come out and just be offensive from the first moment, from the get-go, and put Kansas City under pressure, because Kansas City loves to sit back and get into a rhythm. And when they do, they're difficult to play against, home or away. It doesn't really matter. They're still going to go for the result, right? They want number one spot. So they might be a little bit patient in the beginning, but overall, I see them pushing in this game and the Sounders have to be ready. It's the start of that Colorado game is worst case scenario. It feels like the drill we used to do, right? The offense versus defense, where you're just overwhelmed. Yes, it's 10 versus 10 on the field, but it feels like it's 15 versus 5 and your head's just on a swivel. Can't get into that rhythm against Kansas City because they're a higher quality team and they will punish you, unlike Baji can, you know, and some of the guys that are on Colorado. So higher caliber team, higher quality often brings out the best in the Sounders. So a good matchup, but, you know, results still went our way even last night, right?
Yeah.
Vancouver beating Portland, coming back and three unanswered. So if the Sounders, you know, continue this trend of winning games, Cascadia Cup is still in our grasp as well, which is huge. Another cup for the club. And that'll come down to the last game of the season, which will be exciting also. But yeah, first up, Kansas City. I don't see
what We talk about Schmetz a lot. What kind of person and coach is Peter Vermees? I mean, I have an idea from the outside, and I've had friends played on Kansas. I've never been in his locker room in a training session, in a team meeting. I've never seen him after a losing streak, after a winning streak, all those things that tell you about a coach. He's been successful. And I feel like he has total control over that roster, what he says goes, from the outside at least. I'm just curious what kind of coach and person he is, and maybe what his messaging would be going into like a bigger game like this one.
Yeah, look, I had Peter, he was the assistant coach for Ziggy on our under 20 national team.
And, that's right.
And he was the guy who got me on that team, you know, so he's kind of always had my back. So maybe he has treated me differently than, you know, a mid-range, lower range roster player. But he's a coach that expects a ton out of his team every single day. If you show up and think that you're just going to walk through training or take a break, you have another thing coming. He'll line up everyone, and they've got hills at that training center, and you'll just run hills until you kind of fall into order and fall into rank. So a typical training session is the guys come out a little bit of 5v2, and then you're straight into patterns without defenders. And it's 100 miles an hour from minute one. The outside backs are meant to start with Tim Melia, play the ball into a six, comes out wide, some sort of interchange. And from minute one in training, you got Zusi on a sprint, 70 yards down the field, cross and finish. So it's a heavy load on that team and the way that they train and the mindset. So they're used to it. They're used to the pressure, and Peter's over your shoulder every day, right? Harder, faster, right? A bit like Bob Bradley, where he's going to be just watching your every single move. You know, Schmetz is like that sometimes, but also can say, hey, this guy's going to take a rest today. He's going to do, you know, off on the side. When you're losing, it's not a great environment to be in. You know, I mean, I was there in 2018 and we only lost a handful of games, but still it was not expected to lose. When you're winning, there's lots of joking, jovial, just like any team. But for the most part, pretty even keel. But for a game like this, he's going to have the guys fired up before the game in the locker room. Sometimes it's not the player making the speech. Sometimes it's Peter, which is kind of abnormal, but that just shows you how much, you know, certain games mean to him.
He kind of sounds like Denzel Washington from Remember the Titans a little bit with that description.
Great movie. I don't think our predictions went too well with Houston. So that's the last time we did predictions. So maybe we stay away from that. What did the Suns need to do to rack up, as we bring a bow in this, the number one seed? Four games to go. How many points? I mean, we're talking, you win two games and should be good. I mean, I'm looking at the schedule, play both LA teams, which I think your prediction of not losing to an LA team still stands
at
this point. Yeah.
It does.
And we play both. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you need 7 points.
Okay.
Yeah. I think you need seven to feel comfortable, just because the game in hand for Kansas City. But they do have three of their last five on the road, which isn't easy. And it's also not in easy places either. They go to go to Austin, which who knows? And then you have us and at Minnesota, who's, you know, who knows with Minnesota. But as of right now, they're playing well. So difficult places to play. But I expect them to pick up points in Austin. At Galaxy, I expect them to pick up points as well. And Salt Lake, last game of the season at home, should be a victory for them. So they're going to rack up points. And if the Sounders don't, you find yourself all of a sudden in a precarious position of saying, what if? And with four games left, you don't want to go into – I always hated these what ifs of like sitting around in early December and watching other teams play and saying, oh, what if I just tried a little bit harder in this game, that game, right? Last four games of the season, that's the hardest grind, I think. Summer grind is whatever. It's just expected. You don't want to have that feeling of what if when you got 2 months off to sit and reel about it. So you got to pick up points, especially at home. If you can get 6 points in these next two home games, you're you know, putting yourself in a good position to ultimately win a Cascadia Cup and close out with maybe a couple points on the road in Vancouver.
Yeah. We'll probably do something more in depth on this at some point, but award season is going to be here as well. Who realistically Sounders wise has a shot at an award? I made a tweet last week that said, you know, Ja Paulo should be in the MVP conversation. Now, yeah. I don't think he's the MVP, because I think that to be completely neutral and watch from the outside, I mean, Carlos Hill's season And if you, when you take him out of that New England team, and I've seen them without him, it's a complete different team. He's so, so influential there. Very Nico Lodero, like, with the Sounders, Nico at his best. It's hard in it. I think he's got a ton of assists and, you know, not all about stats, but him, you know, Joel is in the top five, and he just, Joel Paulo's been unbelievable. I think he has a chance. Madranda for sure has a chance, but I heard Shallowy might be in the comeback player conversation as well. And if he is, he has 13, 14 goals. He's going to win it. Coach of the Year, I would love to see Schmetz, but it's going to be Bruce, and deservedly so. He's turned New England around. So I don't know. Does any sound really have... MLS, Yamar, if he didn't get injured, Nuhu, if he didn't get injured, MLS best 11. I don't know. I don't think we'll... Stephen Fry.
I still think Schmetzer has an argument. I just am not going to die on that hill, or I might die on that hill.
Although, he's done a great job.
He's done what Brad said he had to do, and sort of plugged and play, and dealt with some injuries. And Bruce has done the same thing, and it's a record-breaking year, so you can't get super upset if he were to win. And of course, Schmetzer, in a media availability earlier this week, he was asked about it, and he was like, "Bruce and Robin Fraser should win it," and said nothing about how he should win. So.
I just think where New England was when Bruce took over.
Yeah.
That's where I would say, yeah. And both can't go wrong, but Bruce has been.
You can't get super upset if Bruce Arena were to win Coach of the Year. Like, that's deserved.
Yeah. I think Yamar is absolutely a best 11, no doubt. Yeah. Defender of the Year, I honestly don't know. I don't know. I'm trying to think of other defenders, and I'd have to, like, I guess, look up stats. Because I honestly don't even watch the Eastern Conference because it simply doesn't matter, which is probably a terrible thing to say, but it doesn't matter to me. And you cannot argue with point totals. You know, I think Taylor Twellman came out with something and said, like, the coach of Montreal has to be in coach of the year conversation for what he's been able to do at Montreal with the personnel and the turnaround that they've had. And yeah, they've had some points, but just purely based on, as a coach, it's about coaching, but it's you also have to choose your players too. And New England has great players, and they've gotten the most out of their players to amass an insane amount of points.
Yeah.
I think you've got a lot of best 11 shouts on the Sounders, as evident by starting in an All-Star game. I think that kind of gives you an indication, and the Sounders haven't really dropped form. Neither have any of their players. So you'll probably see three or four maybe on the best 11, probably three. I think you'll see Yamar. You'll see João Paulo on there, and then probably Raul, depending on if he can get back healthy for the last two games of the season. I don't see why he wouldn't be in there. So Madranda comeback, but Shallowy 16 goals if he's in that category as well. That's a no-brainer. So, yeah, I think, you know, Sounders are up for some awards, but guys care about it. I was never in that conversation, so it didn't matter to me. Steve, you were probably closer to that conversation for sure when it came to stats and overall play. So I don't know how much it really means to guys to be best 11.
I think... you've talked about this before in terms of, from the outside, people might not know. A lot of times you'll have this into your contract. Yeah. So, yeah, if you make best 11, if you're an all-star, if you win an award, significant bump. And with the money how it is now in MLS, which is still not great, but way better than 10 years ago, it can be a huge difference for guys. So it does matter. And then that next contract is good leverage. So I think guys have one eye on it. They don't play for it, but I think guys care. So Sounders Sporting Kansas City, 12:30 this Saturday. That one will be local broadcast. It's a big game, game of the season so far, without question. And then on Tuesday, the Sounders play LAFC, which is insane to me. This stretch of games is just like, when do you rest? But hey, as a fan watching it, no, it's great. We'll get to that. We'll take a break and come back and do over and under. Before, just really quickly, maybe you guys have an opinion, maybe you don't. I just read an article on it, so it's fresh on my mind. World Cup every 2 years, good or bad?
Bad.
Bad, huh? Yeah.
So much. Yeah. What do you do? You don't have a Gold Cup anymore. You don't have any regional competitions.
Yeah, I think those will become every 2 years as well. They have to.
And then you're going to add in, you know, whatever MLS and Mexico are trying to do with another month.
Yeah. Yeah, so then when do you qualify? When it makes no sense.
A huge money grab. I just, maybe I'm just one for tradition and I need to dive into it a bit more, but it seems just like too much. And I think it takes away from the prestige of a
Agreed.
World Cup. You only get one chance, right? Yeah. Every 4 years you get a chance. And now you're doubling that opportunity. It's almost turning into like the Mexican league style where there's two seasons kind of what it's like.
It's
just too much. It's too much, too fast. I mean, that's just my life philosophy in general is, you know, why are we cramming so much into such a small amount of time?
I know,
but I just think of all the behind the scenes people who are going to have to work to make that all happen. And it's just making my brain start to melt a little bit that it would be a World Cup every 2 years. I mean, that's especially given we could talk about geopolitical stuff too, which I won't bore everyone about. But to have the infrastructure to have different countries raising enough money to actually be able to host World Cups every 2 years. I mean, we already have a ton of other stuff happening every 4 years. Like, let's maybe nail that down first.
Yeah, I mean, I think you'd have the World Cup on the even years. You'd have to have the European Championships and the regional stuff on the odd years. They'd have to go to 2 years. And then you'd be doing World Cup qualifying during the same year. I mean, I don't even know how you work out. Kind of, you have Champions League. The top players would never rest, put it that way. They're playing year-round every year for the next 10 years.
They'll have to pick and choose. Or you're going to see new contracts where they're just like, I'm not playing more than 40 games in a season.
Yeah.
You can pick which ones I play, but I'm not playing more than that. Sorry.
Yeah. But I think bad idea. Keep it 4 years. Don't need to expand teams and do all this stuff. The World Cup's not broken. It's the greatest tournament on earth. Just keep it as is. All right. We'll be right back side by side, wrapping up with some over and under. Let's stay tuned. Yep, welcome back side by side. Keely, hit us over and under.
All right, now it's time for over under, presented by Emerald Queen Casino. First one is, how many duels are we going to win versus Kansas City? Our last meeting was a 2-1 Sounders win on the road, and we won 41 duels against them. Kansas City actually beat us in that category. They had 49. So I'm going to set the over under on 48.5 duels that we are going to win versus Kansas City.
First half last night in the Colorado game, Sounders had over 20, I think it was 24 goals won. That's the only reason they were kept in that game. I'm going to go under this game. Under. I don't know why. I have no primary reason. I don't think there's going to be too much pure attacking that the Sounders are going to have to deal with as much as in Colorado. So I'll say under.
I'm going to go over on that one. I think both teams will be going into it. Like, to be fair, what exactly qualifies as a duel? Like, what's like if a goal kick comes and Yeamer battles a striker, wins a header, that would be a duel? It can't be 50-50 tackles. There's not that many of them in a game. Like, I don't know what a duel is.
Tackles. I think it would be like an aerial duel.
Yeah. Over.
Okay. All right, second one, over under Jimmy Madronda bangers to end the season, including playoffs. So that can include the playoffs. So how many amazing goals does he still have in him? I set it conservative with 0.5 just because, you know, level of difficulty and opportunity, this, that, or the other. But I think that there might be one more left in him.
So is this goals total or it has to be a bang? If he scores,
I feel like he only scores bangers. True. So,
I say two. You can get a couple.
You think he's got two more?
I think only one more. I mean, last night on that ball from João Paulo, if Freddie just leaves it there, if you just pause it as Freddie, like, you know, misjudge it, doesn't know, but Jimmy's right there behind him, just absolutely patiently waiting for that ball to come over his head and drop. So he's ready. Yeah. He's going to play. He's fit and he's motivated. So I think he's got one more in him.
Okay. Well, hey, at least one more. Yeah. Last one is a little bit of a dig at me. Over under times they get your talent schedules wrong to end the broadcast season because I effed up Steve's this weekend. How many more mess ups is Keely going to have to end the season?
What's the over and under?
It depends on how how busy are you these days,
Keely? Yeah.
I have only busy days.
Okay, so I'm going to say over because we're nearing the end of the season.
I have faith in you. Under.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. Where's my tagline? This edition of Over Under was presented by Emerald Queen Casino, the betting capital of the Northwest. Thanks, guys, for playing.
Touching on Jimmy Majanda, Keith Crossigan asked us during the broadcast if he had now overtaken Brad Smith for that position. I said yes.
Yes.
And nothing that Brad's done, what just what Jimmy's done in Brad's absence. I think if the MLS Cup final was tomorrow, who'd you start? I think Jimmy has to play.
Yeah.
Agreed? Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Brad's best position is 4-4-2 as a left defender that can link up and make overlaps. Yeah. When he's dependent upon creating, that's not his style. Yeah. Late runner, that's fast, that gets in behind. So, and I think mentally, that like gives Brad some calmness because when he is like, oh, I'm the only left winger out there. I have to cross this ball and it's got to be perfect. I think it puts a little bit of stress on him that he hasn't been able to really deal with as much as he'd like in swinging in good balls. So for him, I think it's maybe just a positional, formational situation that's allowed Jimmy to thrive a little bit more.
That's a good question, because what about when Jordan comes back? Because Brad and Jordan play so well together. That's sort of another wrinkle in the whole thing.
Yeah, but I was thinking about that. With this formation, you can't play Jordan on the left. He's definitely not a wing back. Definitely not. He has to play forward, but Jordan, I think he's gonna need some games to get back, and the time might be against us to see the very best of him. He's have to be an impact sub. I can't see him starting. It's just unrealistic.
Well,
but
I think you saw a little bit last night, right? Like we change a formation, Leo comes in, and you know, that's probably where Jordan fits in the best.
Yeah.
He's in those little soft pockets and isolated defenders. So if that's the case and Sounders are chasing, I don't see it as a bad thing.
Yeah.
Think about if you've got, you're basically going to play a 4-1 or 4-2-4. I'm not really sure if you're pushing for it at the end. Maybe Jordan's on the right, Leo Chu on the left, Will and Freddie or Raul up top. And then you've got a number 10 that just sits. And I don't know. And it'll be interesting to see how they have this thing planned out.
Yeah. Last thoughts on this. I think MLS has done a great job of, you know, they've got to find ways to, you have to make the regular season mean something. So like the number one seed having home throughout is a big one. You know, the highest seed hosting MLS Cup is a big one, but still some holes. So Bruce Arena just made a quote a few minutes ago. He says, we're going to have to find some kind of practice game behind closed doors before the playoffs, because we're probably going to have 23 days off before we play again. We foolishly earn a bye. That's what he just said. Because of the international break. 23 days off is a long time between games. And I don't know if the Sounders were ever in that position of having that much of a gap. I would hate it. Yeah. I would absolutely hate it. Could that work to the Sounders' favor then, that New England's going to get that bye? Do the Sounders get that bye as well? It's questionable as a number one seed.
I think so.
Yeah.
They would.
Yeah.
Now, how big of a factor can that be? I don't know if it would. Like, there's no way you then say, oh, let's go and be a number two seed. So there's no way you calculate that, right? You still take your chances. But would you then organize a game if you're Schmetzer?
He'll organize a game, but it'll be internal and it'll be against Tacoma Defiance. And it'll be just don't do it. If you do anything stupid, basically your life here at the Sounders is over. We're not evaluating you on this game at all.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, if you do something stupid, I will kill you. Because maybe that's an opportunity to get Jordan 30, 40 minutes. Maybe it's an opportunity to get Nico 30, 40 minutes in a non-season threatening environment, right? Where the play is a million miles an hour and the tackles are coming fast and fierce. So maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's an opportunity to get these guys minutes and get them cohesive, and for Schmetz to see what works, what doesn't work. Maybe he does two games in that time period that are, you know, 60 minutes long. They're always creative about it. And we've done it in the past where you play exhibition games throughout the season. It is what it is. But ultimately, at the end of the day, if you can get rest and guys are feeling relatively healthy, that's all you can ask for, because you're never going to be 100% healthy heading in towards the end of the season. But you can just put a quick Band-Aid on it for the next, you know, 3 weeks of playoffs, then, and you got home field advantage, like, that's huge.
Yeah.
I don't want to play at Colorado.
Right.
Right? In a playoff game or at Kansas City. You're doing everything you can. Even if you're the walking wounded, playing at home is fine. Right? That run in 2016, you know, you get that home game that just catapults you. There's a lot of games like that where, yeah, you can have a little tiny injury, but you're playing at home in front of 35, 40,000 changes everything in the way you feel mentally.
Yeah. No, makes sense. Keely, I'm sure you'd love 23 days off, but not going to happen.
Never. Yeah, this is such like a first world problem conversation, though. It's like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it's, yeah. All right, Sounders, Sporting Kansas City this Saturday, 12:30 p.m. on Fox 13 Plus, Seattle Sounders, Sporting Kansas City. Game of the season. Very important game, not to put too much on it, but I think the Sounders win this. Such a huge psychological edge in that quest for the number one seed. And it is the end of a three-game week, so can the Sounders end with 7 points? And then, as Brad said, they would have really crushed it on these three-game weeks during the season. We'll be back next week and recapping not only that game, but also the LAFC game. Sounders go there on Tuesday. Is that home?
It's at LAFC.
LAFC. And they, I mean, they're fighting for their lives. So that's going to be, yeah, they're fighting for their lives. And maybe Bob's fighting for his job. So desperate team there, which is such a fun part of the season, this moment in time. Side by side, as usual, like, subscribe, comment, wherever you get your podcasts. And we will talk to you guys next week.